Just a couple of things before we dive in. Number one is that these boards are here to follow up from last week. You remember we gave that Harvest Challenge out? And I asked Cecily to tell the young people downstairs, if any of you have done those things where you've kind of looked at to see what are the ingredients and the things you just buy from the shops and drawn your pictures of what's in there, just do come and stick them on those boards afterwards. Naomi will help you with that one. And if you haven't done it, that's fine. There's another week. Bring it next week. We'll leave it there. But it's just good, isn't it, to have that kind of sense of having something a bit more ongoing of giving thanks to God for what he provides for us. Church weekend, I've just checked. I don't believe you need to be a member of the website, do you, to get to the forms. Is that right?
No.
You don't? Yeah.
Anyone can do it.
Okay. So if you go to the church website, you can find the forms for the church weekend. So please do that, and that would be really good to have a lot of people do that together. Right. Now, there are a number here who are not members. Oh, I've got a chair today. That's nice, isn't it? There are a number here who aren't members, and there are a number here who are members who, for one reason or another, can't get to church meetings. And as we were thinking towards today, which is a bit of a vision Sunday, that's kind of the title we give it, an opportunity for the leadership team to reflect back to the church, something of where we think the church is at and something to think of where we're going. We've just realised that the number of people here who were able to be at our review meeting, our annual review meeting, which happens in July when we review the year and we think about the year ahead, is actually quite small. And of a congregation like this, how many of you were at the review meeting we had at the beginning of July this year? So a lot of you just weren't at that. And the idea we thought today would be great just to remind ourselves what we've been doing and where we're going. Now, I was just going to use the PowerPoint from that night, but as I did it, I realised it wasn't going to be appropriate and I needed to do a longer story. So let's just do this together. And so this is the church being built. Headington Baptist Church, it says there, in stone, right outside the front door there. And I put that up to start with because I wanted you to remember that the church is always being built. The church is never complete, is it? So here's a bit of the story. So the church started out as a plant from New Road Baptist Church down there in Bond Square, and it planted this church in the croft around the back here. You can still go and see it at the back there. If you go into the croft there, in the walls you can see the tombstone. Then the church decided that was not going to suit its purposes, so it bought this property on the old high street. There's the old high street, and you can see the church there being built. I think they bought a couple of cottages and knocked them down and put the church in there. And that's what it looked like inside, a little church with a little organ, and it was going across that way, across the front there. And then a bit later, I think it was between the wars, they pulled down they bought some more cottages and they pulled them down. You can see the folk there working on the land, and they built a bit of an extension. So it's gone up from three windows along the side to four windows along the side at the front there. And then I think this is getting into the 50s and 60s, isn't it? Something like that. Somewhere around about that. They decided they wanted to make a bit more space. How many people remember the church like that? That's the church. Anyone remember the church before that? Do you really? You remember that one? You remember the one in the bottom right-hand corner? Okay. So it's not that long ago then. So there was a couple of toilets, a room upstairs, and you could see the four windows on the side there of the old building still. And that's what it was like inside, with that beautiful, vivid red wall at the end there to bring colour and warmth into the building. And and that's what we worshipped in. And they were looking that way. So the overhead projector, do you remember those? Was against the end wall there. And then we pulled that down and see the lovely red wall and built the new building with the pillar box outside it, the telephone box outside it. And that's where we are now, and we worship in here. And we have this wonderful space to worship in with the facilities downstairs for children, the rooms up here, upstairs here. And in this space, we see new believers being baptized, which is just a great joy. And these two were baptized. Savannah and Marvin were baptized during the course of that year, July to July that we were talking about. And we break bread together in this space. We remember the Lord's death for us. And we celebrate those high seasons of the year. We remember Christ coming here together. We remember his death and his wonderful resurrection for us in this space here together. And we dance together sometimes. And we celebrate big events together. And there's beautiful old Cyril and Mabel there celebrating their 60th wedding anniversary, 70th, cutting their cake. And they both gone on to be with the Lord now. They're beautiful folk amongst us, and we have laughs together, and we do our bits of pantos together. And we have toddlers in here every week, and we have lovely events like the harvest fair we had last week, and we do crafty things in here, have craft evenings, and we have big holiday clubs in here, and this is a polling station, and this is a place where we have hustings for the community, and this is a place where we have Alpha, and all sorts of things happen in here. It's wonderful. And from here, we can go out and take the news of Jesus out into the streets, and there's some of the events we used to do at Christmas time when before Waitrose were built, and we could get the street closure and have these big events at Christmas time on the streets there. Or we do one-to-one work on the streets in different ways. Or we go and do things with other churches and have this wonderful big event where we share Jesus and we share his love in the park each year. And we have our discipleship groups where faith is being shared. And in all sorts of ways, the gospel goes forward from here. And this is exciting for us. And we've planted down in Barton. And that's been going for about 7 years, getting on for 7 years now, that we've been working away down there. And this is some of the community worshipping down in the hall down there, where I hope many of you will come next week at 4 o'clock. And we've planted in Northway Church at 5, at 4, no, it's 5, isn't it? It meets at 5 there, and in the Northway Church down under Plowman's Tower, down in Northway. And a group of folk from here have gone and joined other Christians to start a new church in Wheatley. And sometimes we get together, Northway and Barton here, and we have shared services together to celebrate the mission that we're on together. And we've just got new staff now, so Paul and Dawn are here, and we'll hear from Paul a little bit later to lead our work in Barton, in BCC. And 4 p.m. next Sunday, Paul's welcome service, all are welcome, if we fit. But it'd be lovely to have a real good support from HBC for this plant. New Road planted us. We've planted in Barton. We've appointed Dave Lowther, who's working way up there. One of your children's with him. We believe he's safe, so that's all right. we've appointed Abby, who's we haven't appointed her. We've received her as a student with us on placement. So we have a great youth work team now. And Dan Barker, for those who don't know him, is part of is a new worker with our team down Thrive in Barton, and he started last year. Many things have moved on. The vision when we built the church, when we pulled down and we built, is this not right, John? Was to say we weren't looking to try and become a big church. We were looking to be an effective local church who could plant local churches. That's what we're seeking to do. And you could say that's happened. You could say it's been successful. Here's the picture from the air. that space of grass there is where they're going to build a new Barton. The arrow there, that yellowy arrow, is where you are right now. That's heading to Baptist Church. That arrow marks Barton. That's actually pointing straight to my house in Barton. And so Barton comes on down off the bottom of the picture there, and down to the neighborhood center, and then on down across Bayswater Road to the other side of Barton. That's where Northway is, and that's marking where Northway Church is. And here's the new estate that's going to be built on that land. Just to orientate you, that's where the power place is, and that's where the junction's going to be, straight across for buses and for pedestrians and for bicycles, left and right for cars. We have a mission. And why I want to share this with this church is for us to remember that there's something we're called to together in this church to be seeing through in terms of God's purposes. Looking forward, we have an enlarged staff team, and there's new ways of working and new opportunities for us. We have agreed this one network, the Oxford Northeast Church Network. We have a document there which describes how we want to be committed to each other as churches in this mission. We have a wonderful program of activities going on here. But we also feel that we've been challenged. We were challenged particularly at the beginning of last year with that series of Minor Prophets, just with what is our passion for God? How much is God our consuming passion? How far is he the number one in our lives and our work? And we've also been challenged a little bit more recently with that continued understanding that we're not seeing that many people come to faith. And Cecily came with this picture that she felt God had given her of just as she was holding that sponge, that we're quite good at the soft side of the sponge, but maybe we need to learn from God how to have that side which is able to cut through the grease and the grime and cut through the apathy and bring God's power and God's truth into lives that need to receive God and change. We're going to think a little bit more about that a bit later. But the point is that we're in a wonderful, wonderful place, but the reality is God is still building us. We need to take those next steps on. Exciting place to be. Exciting place to be. But there are new steps to take. We're going to look at scriptures a bit more about this in a moment, but I'm going to ask Paul to come up and just share a bit of his... Dawn, let's stand up and let everyone see you. Wave to everybody. Come on, Dawn. Hey, there she is. Good. Grab a microphone, there we are.
Yes. To be with you again, and I'm into my third week at Barton. It's really exciting. And three things come to me very quickly. People talk about vision, but it is vision, because without vision you perish, and without vision you don't need faith. And so when I am thinking about Barton, I'm thinking about vision for families. And one of the things that really touched James when I was here last time, I shared a little bit of my story and a little bit of Dawn's. My family, on my mother's side, during the Great Depression, came from Scotland. They were Highlanders. They lost everything through alcoholism. They moved down during the Great Depression to work in Essex into the Ford factory, Dagenham. That's where my family, my grandfather, first of all, came across Christians and became a Christian. And it's a story in itself, but they were impacted. My father came from a totally unchurched background in Scotland. His family, his mum used to read the tea leaves. They would say, oh, Annie, read the tea leaves. There's superstition and everything else like that. No church background. And God arrested him. And then, obviously, my mum and dad met. But now, my children are the fifth generation. My great-grandmother came to Christ. And so now my daughters, they make commitments to Christ. They look up and down in their faith, but they're still there. And so five generations. That's what happens when God breaks into a family. Dawn's family is more recent. Her family is almost like first generation. Her dad in Blackbirdlees on one evening decides, do I go to the pub or do I go to that evangelistic meeting in the Holy Church, for the church there? Do I go there? And for some wonderful supernatural reason, Dad decides not to go to the pub, but decides to go to the meeting, gets saved, goes back, tells my mother-in-law, and she thinks, he's changed. I want to go some of that. She thinks, this is wonderful, she thinks that she has to have something wrong with her to go and get prayed for because she wants to become a Christian. So she says she has a headache, but she gets wonderfully saved. Wonderfully saved. And my mother leads her to Christ. And my mother-in-law still has the letter from my mum that was her follow-up all those years ago. And now the generations have changed. Mm-hmm. Dawn's family. Mm-hmm. Her brother, her mom, her sister, and all that. Their lives are completely changed because of Christ. So first of all, vision for families.
We see a family change. We can see generations change. I walk around a community. Next thing is vision for community. I walk around and I see the families and I see people in Barton. And there's quite a number of Christians in Barton. So I'm walking around and saying, hi, you know, and, oh, good to see you. And then there's people, a few people come to church. And you're always bumping into people. But vision for community, could you imagine the impact on somewhere like Oxford if the majority of people in Barton were Christians? It's such a definable area. If God visited Barton and changed some of those families and their families became like my family, generations, if the Lord tarries, that's the vision. What a vision that God would change that community. And finally, most importantly, vision for Jesus. You see, there's a lot of people that care about people in Barton. Lots of people care about them. They want to do things for them. They want to help them. They want their families to be. That's all good. But I have, because my vision and my love for Jesus, my interest in them is Jesus' interest in them. And Jesus cares for them, body, soul, and spirit. So yes, God's interested in the fact that they've got maybe alcoholism, or they don't have food, or they don't have money, or there's issues within their family, there's mental health issues. God cares all about that. But you know what? God's major interest is that he died for them, and he wants them saved. And that's the thing that will really, really change your life. Because I'm a testimony to that. Don's a testimony to that. And you are a testimony to that. That's what really matters. And so it's vision for Jesus. Get close to Jesus. Love Jesus and have his interest in people. And it will never be just a social gospel. It will be the power of God to change people's lives. Vision really matters. Faith in what God can actually do. Thanks, James.
Just occurs to me, it would be wonderful to pause and pray, but a lot of information. Any questions? Any questions from what we've said so far, or you've heard so far?
Jane, I'd like to ask a question.
Go for it, Pete.
How long is this church been built?
Well, this church is nearly 12 years, but the building that was here, 1904? Pun? 1901. And the church around the back there, 1836. So it's been here a while. Thank you, Pete. Yeah. And so, I mean, that's a great question because the story goes on, doesn't it? Story goes on. And we're just part of that story. Let's have a few people just pray. Pray into the story and the next stage of that story. And let's pray for Paul and for Dawn. And let's just pray into the things you've seen a little bit. Amen. I think there'll be some more opportunity to respond a little bit later, but just to say, before I go into the message, this would be a great year to be sure that you're on the church weekend. It really would. Becky asked if we had anything to share about what the last time was like, and I know quite well what happens to me when someone just asks me a question like that out the blue. I'm thinking, and then moves on. I think, oh, I've got an answer, and I'm sure many people had those answers. But I know that I was on sabbatical at the time of the last church weekend, wasn't I? Or had I just come back? Or was just going? Or just going straight afterwards? Anyway, I wasn't here for the aftermath, but I came back into church. I went to the weekend, but I came back into church, and there was a new prayerfulness in the church that had come out of that. I don't know if you remember that, but there was a new prayerfulness, and Chris Lane had led the teaching then, and I think many had been encouraged to really want to just dig in a bit deeper in terms of prayerfulness and encouragement. This year will be a great year to be together. It's actually next year, isn't it? But this academic year, great year to be together. Okay, let's have a little look at a little bit of teaching. This is going to be a short message. Okay, so, till the Spirit is poured on us. Isaiah 32:15. I couldn't find anything in Romans that quite did the job, Chris. I'm sorry about that. But how many of you believe that success breeds complacency, complacency breeds failure, only the paranoid survive? Slightly cynical. Great things never come from comfort zones. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Complacency is a state of mind that exists only retrospective. It has to be shattered before being ascertained. When you're in complacency, you don't know you're complacent, because if you knew you were complacent and knew there was a risk to be, you would do something, wouldn't you? Isn't that true? It's very interesting. You know, look in Scripture. God takes his people into the promised land where they have to depend on the rains. And he says, you know, that's, you have to depend on me. If the rains don't come, you've got no harvest, mates. You know, in Egypt, you could just water the land with your feet from the constant supply of water. But you have to be dependent. That's the spiritual life. Tozer says, complacency is a deadly foe for all spiritual growth. This is a metaphor. The church is always growing. Our church is always growing. There's always the next thing to build. I don't know what Duncan would say, how many days he's able to be complacent as a builder, but there's always new ladders to put up, new scaffolding to put up, new bricks to get in, new mortar to lay. Building is something where there's always that next stage, isn't there? And our story as a church, this story is a metaphor of how God takes a group of people, takes a vision, plants that vision, grows that vision, sees it move on, sees the next stage. And at each step, there's been need for people to take those steps of faith and step into the next stage and not be in a comfort zone. I can always remember when I first came here and the church there was pretty full, and then it became too full, and we had to take the decision to take the organ out. And I remember John there and Dave and Rodney and the leadership team, just the decision that we need more space. Well, we can get the organ out. That'll give us 20 more spaces. And then the decision that we need to rebuild. We need that more capacity. And, you know, you have to say, well, will we stay comfortable in what we are, or will we take those risks? And looking forward, we've just been through this list here, haven't we, together? That there are reasons, if you take those first two, we could say we're comfortable, we can settle. And there are these things which mean that we probably feel that we actually need to move on. And I would say that as a church, having seen the plants go out, and having seen Wheatley start with a group of people, not a plant of HBC, but a group of HBC people go there, we were shaken. I believe we were shaken as a church, rightly shaken, because we saw friends move on, we saw skills go from this church, and it was right to have a time of consolidation. And I think it was right to get that sense of togetherness. I want us to look at this scripture together. This is from Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 32, 15 to 17. I need to get my tablet as well. Till the Spirit is poured on us from on high, and the desert becomes a fertile field. And the field and the fertile field seems like a forest. The Lord's justice will dwell in the desert, his righteousness live in the fertile field. The fruit of that righteousness will be peace. The effect will be quietness and confidence forever. You know, it's just that wonderful balance, isn't it, of that implication that there's the desert time where we need God to bring us back into the right place, that place of discipline. And then there's that fertile field we come into. But obviously, starting with a small letter, till, and no capital, and the way it's phrased means it's got a context. And if you go up the passage, you'll find the context is this. I'm sorry, ladies, is addressed to the women. There's plenty in Isaiah addressed to men and to everybody. But it says, you women who are so complacent, rise up and listen to me. That's that word, complacent. And there's a passage on how complacency has led them in all kinds of disaster. And they'll be in that disaster until the Spirit is poured out from on high. And when the Spirit is poured out from on high, then they're going to see this crop. The field will be fertile, and it's going to be such a wonderful crop. It'll be like a forest. This crop will be like a forest. I'd love to see a crop that feels like a forest in here, a crop of folk coming to know Christ in this area, a crop of the quality of our spiritual living that attracts people to Christ in that way. You know, we have seen these things which we've spoken about already, and these things can lead us to feel we've arrived. They can lead us to feel that vision that we were hoping for has happened. But of course, everything can disappear. Everything's vulnerable. Everything's just that next step away, isn't it? And we have to keep that picture in front of us that the building is not finished, the church is not finished. We need to keep building that church. It needs to keep growing. You know, we can't get match fit in the gym. You know what match fitness is? Who knows what match fitness is? No, yeah, there's a few. They've got a sports coach up the top here. And basically, you'll hear them talk about this. You hear footballers coming back from injury. And they've obviously done lots and lots of medical work to get them well. They've obviously done lots and lots of work in the gym. They've obviously increased their stamina. They've obviously been on training pitches to do the training and to make sure that they're sound. But they'll say, but this player needs a few matches to become match fit. And it's that difference between just building the theoretical strength for the game, but actually having the right strength for the game and the right focus for the game, the right mentality, all those things. You have to be in the match to be match fit. Isn't that right? A nod coming from the top here. Thank you, Tom. And we will never be match fit for God's game, for God's mission, by being in services. We'll never be match fit for God's game by turning up to house groups and being in a circle and just talking about it. These things are vital for us. Training is vital for us. Fitness is important. But until we're doing those things that God calls us to do, we will not be match fit. And that means that we have to step out in faith. We have to take those steps, don't we? And we have to take those risks. When we built this building, you know, one of the things it did for us as a church was it put us way outside our comfort zone. We had financial demands put on us that were actually things which people said, that's going to be impossible. And it happened. And those things do something to you as a church. They really do. Because you have to say, well, if God doesn't do this, it's not going to happen. We had problems with planning permission. You know, we thought we were hitting brick walls, potentially, and God opened the doors. You know, these things make you spiritually a little bit more attentive because you think, we're going to be flat on our face if we don't get through this one. We need to keep building. Settling is spiritual death. Settling, just saying this is a good place to be. As we've said, we've needed a season for consolidation as a church, and I think we've had that season. I think we feel we're just functioning again well as HBC Central here, and we've got the plants taking their moves ahead. And it's now time to go again. It's now time to say, right, we need to press forward again. We need those fresh steps of faith and leaping out. It's time to put ourselves in that place of dependency. It's time to leave the Egypt with its constant supply of water and go into the promised land where you depend on God's rain for things to happen. And if it doesn't happen, nothing grows. It's time to remember that we need God's Spirit poured out from on high. And it's time to see the desert become a fertile field. Amen? We would like to ask you this week, we means the leadership team, we would like you this week to commit to taking a day of prayer and fasting. I don't know what that'll look like for you. It may mean you skip one meal. It may mean you take a whole day out from fasting. If it's helpful to tell somebody, just have accountability, then tell somebody you know well, or tell them the leadership, just so that, you know, sometimes we need a bit of accountability that helps us. But it's your own private thing. You don't have to have a time in your diary to turn up to a meeting. You can be any day of the week you like. But we want you to make that decision. God, we are dependent on you. We wish to set food aside for this day because we want to focus and say, God, we need your Spirit poured out in us because it's a moment of fantastic opportunity. We want to grasp it. Okay? We're going to celebrate communion together now. Perhaps some people could grab the table for me. And we can just come on the table. And I'm going to ask that as we break the bread together, we remember God's gift for us, and that we say, God, we wish to express not only that we're dependent on you for our salvation, your body was given for us that we could receive your life, and your blood was shed for us so that promise of salvation would be sealed, sure. And now, Lord, we're giving ourselves to you in every other way, to receive from you so that we can serve you and please you. I have failed to ask people to help me serve. Perhaps four of the members would come and help me serve communion. That would be a real blessing. Thank you very much. And let's pray together. Let's pray together. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for. This story that we've been through is a wonderful story of your faithfulness in what are, in ultimate terms, small things. But they've been big for us. You brought us to this place. And Lord, in that much, 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 much bigger way, as we have these elements in front of us, this bread and this wine, we're reminded of that far, far greater miracle that you came amongst us in the person of your Son, that you found that way to address our sin and our guilt, to take it from us and to take it on yourself, and to cause us to stand innocent before you, free, to welcome us into your family, thank you. To give us access to your Spirit, thank you, Lord. To give us that promise of eternal life, thank you, Lord. And Lord, now again, as we take this bread and receive it into ourselves, remind us of that first time we received you as our Savior and Lord. And as we take this cup and we drink, Father, remind us that your promise is sure. You'll never break it. Your promise of forgiveness and life. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. So on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Take and eat this in remembrance of me." If you know and love the Lord Jesus, please share in this bread and in this cup.